We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, we've made it. We're here. It's NFL Draft Week. Good to be along with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. All right, Joe. I mean, we are 4 days away, and we've had a lot of talk for the last few months. Jeremy's been on the wide receiver train, and you know he's been the conductor of the wide receiver train. I think we all know, even Brandon Bean kind of, you know, alluded to, you know, they know that they have some work to do at the position. You know, he said last week they feel pretty comfortable at, you know, with the guys they have and don't need a number one, whatever. I think that they're going to be looking pretty, you know, highly at that position. But here's the question for you. Have you, at this point on April 22nd, kind of gotten yourself to be entrenched one way or the other on what they're going to do, whether that's trade up, trade down, stay where they are, make wide receiver over anything else? Is it, are you entrenched? I'm pretty confident they're going to do this.
I'm right now, I think a version of what they've done in the past, which is a smaller level trade up that gets you up 5, 6, 7 spots. And that they're going to go get Brian Thomas Jr. Like that. If you ask me the most likely scenario in my mind right now, I think that is the most likely scenario. That they'll move up 5 to 10 spots and they'll get Thomas. Because I think he just fits a lot of what they need. Anything beyond that, like, I just think it's such a big idea to go up into the top three receivers that the likelihood of it just, you know, like, Bean might even want to do it, and I feel like it's still unlikely to happen just because you've got to get a team on the hook versus, you know, the trade-up that I'm talking about, I think, is usually achievable.
And you can't wait at 28 to get him, right? I mean, there's no way he's falling that far. I have seen a couple mocks where he gets that far, but generally not the case.
To where? To, like, to 28? Or to 20
Brian
in general.
Thomas, yeah.
Yeah. I think would you...
I'm saying there's no way he falls that far to 28.
I don't know about no way. I think it's unlikely. I think it's definitely unlikely. I've seen a couple mocks, maybe even the most recent one from Mel Kiper had him falling to 28. So you see it once in a while, very often he's gone in the late teens, sometimes the early 20s. I think his over-under at the betting sites is 17.5, so we're talking 10 picks before the Bills. So
yeah.
Sure, it would definitely be a surprise if he fell to 28. And at that point, you might think, well, if he's there, then maybe I have some confirmation that Bean, he doesn't have to be Bean's guy. If he didn't think it was worth it to go up 3-4 spots even to get him, maybe he's got a different guy. Maybe Leggett, because Leggett's someone that almost always seems to be on the board at 28. So, yeah, but for Thomas, it almost always sounds like you got to trade up for him.
Yeah, I think so too. I am warming up more to the idea, both in my own view of whether they should or shouldn't do it, and whether they will or won't do it, right? There's those two different things. You think they might do something, but you don't want them to, or you think they won't do something, you want them to, whatever. I am warming up to the idea, A, that they might actually do it more, and B, that I am not opposed to it, of trading back. I did not think they should do it going into this process a couple months ago, even with the depth at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. But the more that we've gone through this process, and the more it looks like you're going to have to give up to go up, even though they have 10 picks. I understand that. They had 11 as of a while ago, and then the Diggs trade, and they have one less now. They have 10 picks. I still think that's a lot. They don't need all 10. So you have capital to move up. That's fine. I still prefer the trade up to get a guy, but I'm much more open to the idea now of trading down, A, from my own vantage point, and B, from what I think they might actually do.
Yeah. Yeah. I debate, like, there's the defensive end conversation too, and there's the roster being where it is versus a couple of years ago. It's kind of a desperate situation at the position as well, which, you know, like, I guess we don't fully know, like, what they think of the combo of Kincaid, Samuel, and Shakir as, can that be your 1-2-3 in terms of target getters? Mm. Cook as well, like, Brady's offense, we don't have a full look, a full scope of what Brady wants, because mid-season you got to do a lot of things the way Dorsey did. So there are question marks revolving around it, but man, I'm as confident in any draft year I think that Bean has been the GM, other than second to quarterback, right? Like, we all knew they were getting a quarterback, that they were going to try at least Allen's year, that they were going to come away with somebody, and that they were going to do everything they could to get a guy. Second to that, I've never been as confident that, like, they're going to target a certain position, they're going to go get it, and receiver for me is that. So I do think defensive end is on the table a lot, like Chop Robinson we've talked about and others, but yeah, this is as confident as I think I've ever been that they're going to do something specific.
Do you remember at all anything about the 2020 Panthers with Joe Brady as offensive coordinator?
Some, yeah. What I remember is they were very good at getting all of their weapons involved, that yep. they had the right combination. And keep in mind, this is with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback, that they were mm-hmm. very good at getting guys open underneath. And that would have been Samuel and McCaffrey, right? They would have had the yak guys that you would have wanted. And at the same time, they had deep threats. They had the combo of short to intermediate mm-hmm. and then over the top. Robbie Anderson and mm-hmm. DJ Moore both had 1,000-plus yard seasons that year, and both had really high yards per reception. Like, they were downfield threats. So I don't know if you can still do that to the same degree, even in only 4 years. I know the league has changed a lot for how often you can get open down the field like that, but what I remember is that they had an average quarterback and four great skill position players, and Joe Brady found a way to get all four of them involved.
Robbie Anderson, who's now Robbie Chosen, by the way.
Is he Rob? He was Chosen Anderson, too. I think maybe he went from Chosen Anderson to Robbie Chosen. He's all over the place. I think
that is correct.
Okay.
That's correct. Yeah, no, he's all over the place. His name has changed a couple times. According to now, I believe his name right now is Robbie Chosen. So
okay.
if people see that, that's the guy we're talking about when we say Robbie Anderson. 136 targets that year.
Right.
That is massive.
Number one on
that
the
was
team,
their,
probably,
their number
right?
one guy. So, yeah. So wait a minute now. Joe, Curtis Samuel, we've talked about him as being their, like, he had his best year in his career as,
yeah.
You know, with Joe Brady in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
He was their number three option behind, right. and as far as targets are concerned, right?
Right.
Yeah. Robbie Chosen, 136. DJ Moore, 118. Curtis Samuel, 97. Now, in all fairness, also, Christian McCaffrey missed a whole bunch of games that year. That's the year he got hurt.
Oh,
he only
okay.
played three games.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Mike Davis became their lead pass-catching running back. He had 70 targets himself, by the way.
Right.
Mike Davis did, with 59 catches. But when you think about that team with Curtis Samuel, and we say how much he had a really nice year, and he did. I mean, he had 97 targets, 77 catches, 851 yards, really nice year with Joe Brady. There were two guys well above him as far as options, if you want to consider targets
yeah.
as, you know, what the options are. And Robbie Chosen and DJ Moore, and there's no shame in DJ Moore being, I mean, he was, but man, I was stunned looking at it. that Robbie Anderson, Robbie Chosen, was the number one guy on that team.
Yeah. I think that's about where Samuel is rightfully slotted. Like, I think when you can be at your best offensively, he's probably, I mean, that year I'm looking at now, 97 targets is a big number. Like, that would this year probably be second on the Bills. Like, I'd be very surprised if they had two players not named Curtis Samuel that got 100-plus. I don't want to say it's impossible, because I think Kincaid's going to get there. And if they drafted, you know, maybe Thomas would fall a little under that. If they did the big trade up and got a Dunze, I would definitely think that guy gets 100-plus. But I think most outcomes, a rookie you draft in the first round is probably falling below 97. So that number might have him second on the Bills, but that year in Carolina, I mean, he is a key contributor, but not necessarily the focal point of an offense. And I think that's how the Bills paid him, right? Like, $8 million is not a lot for wide receivers, given the boom at the position. So it's definitely somebody you want to contribute, but at the moment, he's your number one receiver. If we do it by total target getters, he's probably second to Kincaid. And I think you'd like that to just be bumped down one spot. And you have the example of Brady in 2020 here, where they got guys involved, and Samuel was third in the pecking order.
They also didn't throw to the tight end that year. Now, they didn't have guys to really throw to, right? I mean, Ian Thomas was their number one guy.
Yeah.
And then they had Chris Manhertz, and we love Chris Manhertz here in Buffalo, of course, Canisius College, you know, basketball player, but he's not a pass-catching tight end. He's more of a blocking tight end. Ian Thomas, 31 targets, 20 catches. Like, he had a very non-year. It was basically those guys, and then that's it. Now, Mike Davis, like I said, running back 59. If McCaffrey's up there, he's going to be one of those main guys. But they had three receivers. They spread the ball around. But here's the takeaway I have from looking at it, which is, you're right, Joe. Like, that's where he fits, right? That's where Samuel probably fits. Okay, so Brandon Bean says we don't need a true number one. Okay, I don't know if he actually believes that or not. It might be just kind of GM speak as you lead up to the draft, because, like I said, you don't want to lose leverage. But you bring in Curtis Samuel to the Buffalo Bills, and you look at the depth chart right now. He is their number one on the depth chart, right? Would we not disagree with that? Is it right now, Curtis Samuel, if you said, okay, you have to have a number one, you'd say it's Curtis Samuel. It's not Khalil Shakir, correct?
I would say Samuel over Shakir. Yeah.
Okay.
I would say Samuel over Shakir. Number one. Number one for me.
Okay, so based on that.
Yep.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, just because.
Based on that, I'll say this. Based on that.
Yep.
You go back to 2020. There's no way Joe Brady thinks that Curtis Samuel's his number one receiver, right?
No. Nope.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he'd be used more in a specific type of role, right? It would be, I'm going to use him in the backfield. I'm going to use him on screens. I'm going to use him, you know, one of those guys where you work to get the ball in his hands because he's worth that. But when I think of prototypical number one wide receiver, I'm thinking my quarterback drops back to pass and this dude is going to get open on his own. Like, he's going to go beat the corner one-on-one. He's going to find a soft spot in his zone and he's going to warrant a target partially through scheme, but also on his own initiation. And I'm not saying Samuel can't do that. I think there's some good breakdowns from Matt Harmon and others that Samuel is actually better at that than maybe his coaches have given him credit for and how he's been used over the years. But he's not someone I'm expecting. I'm just going to line him up out wide and he's going to go one-on-one, basically play the Diggs role of past years and go get me 130 targets. I don't doubt he could perform in that circumstance. I think there's enough on his resume that says you could use him differently than he's been used in the past, and you'll still get good results. But I'm not expecting him to go play the Gabe Davis or Stephon Diggs role and come back with some elite season, with him now suddenly being considered a top receiver in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it now. I go back to 2020. I look at how he used him, and obviously, I mean, think about how this all works, right? So Curtis Samuel becomes a free agent. The Bills go out and get him. Joe Brady is the offensive coordinator that had Curtis Samuel in 2020, had his best year. Obviously, you're not doing that unless Joe Brady vouches for going to get the guy, right? I mean, Brandon Bean's going to go and like, hey, you know, what do you think? Curtis Samuel used him. Whether it's whether it's the Bills front office and pro scouting staff and Brandon Bean bringing it to Joe Brady, or Joe Brady going to them and going, guys, you go get me Curtis Samuel. That'd be great. One or the other. I don't know who initiates it. But at the end of the day, they got to be on the same page to bring Curtis Samuel in and have a plan for him. However, that said, the plan, when he had him, and he loves him, but he still was his number three guy.
Right.
So I don't think he's coming to Buffalo with Josh Allen as his quarterback in a Super Bowl window and going, oh, yeah, bring him here, and he's going to be my number one guy. I can't see it. I mean, I think about it like that and say, oh, my God, they just they have to do something at number one, despite what Brandon Bean said last week, which I'm sure he believes that, hey, if we really got down to it, Josh Allen could carry us as far as he can, and we could still be successful. There's a difference between successful and being a Super Bowl champion, I think, though, if you're talking about Curtis Samuel being your number one or your number two or three based on how it went when he was in Carolina and trying to translate that to Buffalo. Yeah. This, they have to do something to get someone over top of Curtis Samuel.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a game plan point to be made here, too, that I there's definitely people out there that are more qualified to give this point than I am that could get into the X's and O's of it. But I think there is a – there's definitely – a point to be made about Samuel and the style of player, and if Joe Brady wants to use him similarly to how he used him in Carolina, those plays that you used him in, like, I think it's going to be easier to defend Samuel on those plays if you don't have the threats on the outside. Like, part of, I'm sure, what helped Samuel have that big year in Carolina was not one, but two wide receivers were threatening defenses down the field, and Moore and Robbie Anderson. And right now, if I'm walking into playing a game against the Bills, like, I have to respect them down the field. It's on some level just because of Allen. Like, Allen, no matter who the receiver is, like, he might throw it. He's thrown a deep bomb to Patrick DeMarco in his life before. Like, he'll throw it up to anybody if the guy's open enough. So I have to respect that on some level, but I'm just not afraid. I'm not afraid of anybody. If I'm playing the Bills defensively and they didn't do anything at receiver in the draft, I'm walking into that game thinking, all right, guys, here's what we're going to take away. We're going to take away Samuel, Cook, Shakir, and a lot of that's going to be middle of the field and a little bit of a shorter, you know, type of game plan. We can bring our safeties up a little more than we used to. And if I'm the Bills and I want to prevent defenses from doing that and having an easier time, how do I want to do that? I want to have a multitude of different types of weapons. I want to have versatility. I want to have a guy like Brian Thomas who is going to threaten you over the top. Like, this guy runs a 4-3-3-30. He was destroying defenses deep in college, and you better watch out for him, because if you fall asleep on him for half a second, he's going to blow by you, and our giant arm quarterback's going to throw it deep to him. And now, because you're focused on that, opens up things for Curtis Samuel, opens up things for Shakir, Kincaid over the middle, Cook, you know, in the short game as well. I just wonder how successful these Bills pass catchers that are on the offense right now can be if they don't have someone taking attention away from them on the outside.
You can get connected with us. We will get connected with you, our fans, and that will be brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. You can tweet us at Sal Sports, at Sneaky Joe Sports. You can also call us 803-0550. Welcome to Monday, the first day of the week, of NFL draft week, I guess is how we should say it. Of course, we're going to have wall-to-wall coverage for you all week long here on WGR Sports Radio 550. We'll have draft night coverage for you. That's going to be on Thursday night. Joe and Jeremy are going to be, how's the wide receiver big board coming along for your draft party?
It's going good. We have it up. We had to add a couple names, so Troy Franklin is going to go up on the board. Jalen Polk will go up on the board.
Wait, Troy Franklin wasn't on the board?
No, I think maybe the label got misplaced or was forgotten. It was not on purpose. It was not on purpose. He was on our radar.
By the way, what happened to that guy? He was like the number one flavor for Bills fans 2 months ago.
Yeah. I've been scared off him, I would say, in the first round.
All right.
I think the best analysis that informed my change of heart on him was from Joe Marino, Locked On Bills, who will be on with Jeremy and I on Wednesday. And there's two things. One, Oregon is weird, I guess, right? Their system and projecting players to the pros is tougher because of how they play.
It's always it's been since the Chip Kelly days.
Yeah, and that's happening with their center too right now, I think, who's starting to fall on boards. The other thing is Joe kind of said, like, he's going to be a very specific role. Like, he's going to be downfield threat, runs a couple of routes, and I think he maybe compared him to, like, Jameson Williams in Detroit. Like, he'll perform at what he's going to do, but just not the type of wide receiver one upside because of the route tree, and maybe also he's thinner, like kind of the Xavier Worthy, you know, right. issue. He's just a little taller. So I don't know that he's got the complete repertoire to be like a 125, 150 target guy someday.
We are going to have Mike Catalana join us coming up after the first time out coming up here. He is from 13 Wham in Rochester, does the Buffalo Plus YouTube show with, of course, Jenna Cottrell and Dan Fates. So Mike's going to join us. If you go to Mike's Twitter profile, over 500 Bills games covered. I love that. Mike's seen it all. He's been around it all. He's also a big Philly sports fan, so we can touch on that with him. But Mike's going to join us. Not only that, but on the Rochester Americans, we'll get what's happening with the Rochester Americans, the AHL playoffs. Mike Catalana at 11:05 from our sister station in Chicago. Chris Emma is going to join us. Let's talk Bears because they're at a pivotal spot. Are they going to draft Roman Dunze? Are they going to trade down? They're at number one, but they're also at number nine. That's been a spot where a lot of Bills fans feel you got to maybe be if you want to get up, you know, to draft someone like that. And of course, that would be really, really unlikely for the Bills to go that high, but we'll see exactly what he says the Bears are thinking with that second pick. So Mike Catalana joins us coming up next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, glad to have you with us. It's draft week here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
One of the things that people don't always know the full details on, though, is what are their mentals? What are their smarts? What are their habits? Those playing big, and our coaches and our scouts have really worked hard. You know, the scouts for a while, but the coaches have really jumped in now, trying to quiz these guys either at their pro days, at privates, Zooms. You've seen some of the names we've had in here. We have tried to go through that, and some have really tested out well.
Brandon Bean last week down at One Bills Drive, a little bit of all-encompassing Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott. We also heard from Josh Allen and Terrell Bernard. First week of workouts, obviously, leading up to the draft. Good chance to talk to the general manager. And, you know, he's not going to tell you everything, but we'll try and parse through it with our guy Mike Catalana, who joins us right now on the West Her Hotline from 13 Wham in Rochester. Mike, good morning. It's Sal and Joe. Thanks for joining us, man.
Sure. Good to be with you guys.
All right. So you were down there. You and I had a... Yeah. Couple fun discussions while Brandon Bean was talking last week. How much kind of stock do you take away from what he said? Being, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say he's lying, but we know they keep things close to the vest, right? How much can you read into what he said and what's believable and what they might want to do on Thursday night this week after what he said last week?
All right. So I hear people say, "Well, you don't want to give anything away." Let me ask you this question: if you're any other general manager in the league, and you look at the Bills roster, and you look at the wide receiver room, do you think you can pretend and say, well, Brandon said we don't have a glaring hole? I mean, guys, you know it. Curtis Samuel has 317 career catches. The rest of the wide receiver room, if you include Isabella and Hamler, have 255. I mean, that's in their careers. Now, I know sometimes you got these young players. Okay, Khalil Shakir would be that guy, that young player you think can ascend. But they don't have a number one. They don't have a guaranteed number two, like a guy you've assumed there, though I think Curtis Samuel could be a nice player for them. And they are hoping Shakir is the guy that moves into that role. But we waited a couple years for Gabe Davis to do it, and he never did. They have a glaring hole at the position. There are receivers out there. You just got to find the right one. I'm still going to say this. They need one. They need to move up if they can. And I will be stunned if they don't. Well, certainly have one in the first two rounds. You can't wait.
Right.
But I think they need it in the first round, and I think they need to take a swing.
How likely do you think it is that he stays at 28 or if he moves up? I know you say go up and get one if you can.
Yeah.
But judging by the way he talked about it and judging by his past, do you think they move up to grab a guy?
Yeah, they move up. I think they have to. And it's funny, when you start looking, like, I swear, I've looked and said, come on, go take a big swing. Like, what would it take? But then you have to say to yourself, let's just use an example. The Atlanta Falcons or the Chicago Bears and all. Like, you're talking about if a team's moving back to 28. I mean, you've seen the Bills. When they've moved way up, like they did even to get Josh, it took two moves, right? Because it's hard to say to, you know, you say to the Bears, you want to move back. What are you giving them? You can add up the numbers, but are you really going from, you know, 9 to 28? Like, you're going to have to give up in next year's pick, maybe the high 2 and a 1, whatever it is. So you got to look at it. But I have them. Look, we all do our own mocks. And it's funny, I heard Joe mention it. I have him moving up to Philly at 22 and getting Brian Thomas. I like him. I think he is physically talented. I think he fits what they want. Big-time program at LSU. I think he's the type of player. But, hey, let me tell you something. My dream is them to get Adunze because I think the guy is going to be off the charts good. But I don't know if they can get up that high. I don't think the Bears are trading that pick. But I give up a lot to get that guy because these top 10 wide receivers, if you look at 2022, the guys who are in there. This is what really strikes me, guys, when I look at it. You look at Drake London, Garrett Wilson, even Chris Olave, the top 11 picks with average or terrible quarterback play, and they're still really good. That should tell you something about the type of player. And you put a Josh Allen in the mix with that kind of guy, but it's tough to move that far up.
Yeah. It just it feels like, how bad could it really go, right? Like, I know it could go poorly. Like, we've even seen how Elam's career has gone. But right, like, you look at the offense and the vacancy of targets and Allen as the quarterback, just it would feel like you'd have to work really hard to not have it work. If you've got that talent level that's worth trading up for, and then you fall into this situation, like it's the situation that I feel like a lot of receivers would kind of kill for right now.
Yeah, there's no question, right? And you say to yourself, what would it take? And look, they have other needs. We know they certainly do, but I'm just looking at it saying, you really, listen, I think we've all come to the realization that they moved on from Diggs for a lot of reasons. He got 160 targets last year. I don't think anybody on this roster is going to get 160 targets. So they're going to be spread out a bit more. But you're talking about starting the season with, you know, this, and you have to add to the mix someone who can step in. And I know Kincaid should be moving up, and the hope is that Shakir is. But I'm with you guys. I just think that it is a glaring hole. I think Brandon Bean fully knows that. And the good news for Bills fans, I guess, if that's what they want, is that Brandon Bean is not afraid to make a move. He's certainly not afraid to move up. It's just a matter of for who and for how much he would give up. But when that day is over, you look back at a draft, you see the year Justin Jefferson, they didn't have to move up, but Justin Jefferson goes to the Vikings. Do they really care what the rest of the draft was? Like, if you get an elite player, if you get an elite player at wide receiver in this draft, I think it's going to be monumental for the franchise. And I think he's got to do what he needs to do.
Would you advocate moving back if the top four are gone? I'm including Brian Thomas Jr. now. If they can't get any of them, they can't move up. You're sitting at 28. Would you advocate moving back to get more assets, or would you rather them take somebody they do still like or even another position?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, we joke about it on our podcast. It's like, well, you're not in the room, because we all would say that. Like, I don't know how high they have a Ladd McConkey or a Leggett or one of those guys, right? I mean, if one of them in their board is considerably higher, then you say no. You know, you either take the guy a little early, or you don't move and don't move back, because you would feel like that's the case. My concern would be if they had five or six guys all roughly the same, then maybe that's not the guy that you need for this offense anyhow. So it's hard to sit there. It's hard to sit there and go, man, we're at 28. 28 is a lousy place to be drafting. The great thing for this team is that they've been really good and close, but it just highlights just how close they've been and not gotten there. But it's also tough because everybody knows they don't have 28 first-round grades. He said this. So do you go another position? Do you trade back? Honestly, waiting from 28 to 60 would be painful for this franchise if they don't get a wide receiver. So I guess if you move back to somebody like the Cardinals, you move back into the early 30s, and maybe that's not the worst thing in the world to do. But look, they have to come up with somebody. And then honestly, guys, I think they're in the market for a veteran too. I think they're still in there, post-draft veteran.
Interesting.
You know, whether it's an Odell or somebody like that, they need real targets, guys who have been there and done that before in this wide receiver room, and they don't have it.
Yeah. What level? I mean, you mentioned Beckham there, because I've thought about this too, Mike, where like on the outside, the Z and the X guys. I mean, that was Diggs and that was Davis last year. And while Diggs was still on the team and they had signed Samuel, I remember having the discussion with everybody that like Samuel's not your prototypical Davis replacement. He's going to do other things for you. Well, now Diggs gone too. It almost feels like you have two guys that are primarily guys that you see play on the outside to fill. And is Beckham like that level of player, even if it's not him, kind of what you're thinking if they add someone else?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you got to protect yourself here a little bit too. And I'm talking about, I mean, there is a, you know, we're talking about the room right now just with a lack of, you know, Mac Hollins to me is a special teams player, you know, a fifth wide receiver. There are so many things to really like about Shakir, but we've all seen the projection, right? Can you project from being, fifth round, he's good. Oh, he catches a lot of balls. But now when you increase the targets, can that move up? That would be phenomenal for them. But they have such a huge need. And you're talking about lining up here. I mean, you're right. So say they go out and get two young wide receivers. But I don't know if, unless it's like a Brian Thomas or a guy like that, that you believe from day one can play that role and you can put him out there. Like if you draft Ladd McConkey at 28, I don't know if he's a talented guy, but I don't know if he fills that role for you. You still need that. And that would be tough to turn around to Josh Allen and say, this is what we're rolling out with in 2024.
Mike Catalana, 13 WHAM, Rochester, Buffalo Plus. We'll let you tell everybody what you got going on with that here in a little while. I do want to shift gears and talk about the Rochester Americans. Syracuse Crunch are on deck for them in the AHL playoffs. Can you kind of give Sabres fans a little bit of an idea of where this team is, what the roster is going to look like now that the Sabres season is over, and what their prospects are here in the playoffs in the AHL?
Look, you know, it's funny. We went through a long stretch here where they had their own drought with the Amherst, where they either didn't make the playoffs or never advanced. Seth Appert changed that here. He just did. And I've advocated for him. Look, I know the Sabres. I don't believe the Sabres are promoting him as a head coach. But this guy has created a culture in the AHL, which is difficult to do. They develop players, yes. But this team has an identity. They finish strong. They play tough. They're becoming a tougher team as the year goes on. They incorporate the young guys with the veterans. They earn their ice time. I mean, they finish the season strong. Last year, they made it to the conference finals. It'll be tough with them in Syracuse. You know, the AHL, you know, you get to certain rounds. Like, they get to Hershey. Like, there's some teams that still employ as many veterans, older players, which is tough in the AHL with young players. But you're going to see Kalik. You're going to see Byro. Rosayan has played really well. Levi is the key guy, right? This is his chance to show something in a playoff run. He's been really good for them. So Syracuse finished poorly. Amherst finished strong. But, it's American Hockey League. They play each other a ton. They're right down the road. Amherst beat them last year in the playoffs. But I think they're fun. I think it's worth taking a trip down here to watch them. I think people will enjoy it. But, you know, the guys like Wahlberg and Oslin, they are here. They're playing. They're trying to incorporate them into it. But it's one thing about Appert, boy, you earn your ice time there, whoever it is. And that's the way this team has played, and that's why they've had a good level of success.
Yeah. and maybe even more so for Saber fans too, because obviously, you know, from Buffalo, you're going to care more about, you know, the prospects that you might see here one day. And it's right to I'm not watching the games. I'm looking at the numbers, though, that Kulik and Roseanne have really kind of heated up here at the end.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Kulik, sometimes you watch him. He had a couple of plays the other night. And I think it was the game on, what was that, on Wednesday night, where it's to me, him with opportunity, it's almost comical. He has great skill. He has a great skill set. And he'll deliver. He delivered last year in the playoffs. He's still a young player. It's the hard thing is, as you guys know, how does that translate? Like, is he AHL plus, or is he a guy that can really come into Buffalo? But you will be impressed by his skill set. I don't think there's any doubt. But again, I would say this. I don't know when it is for Levi. He's still a pretty young guy, but we've seen it here before, you know, with goalies coming into Rochester, yeah. You know, whether it was Ryan Miller, Marty Baron, those guys. Playoff runs are big. It's an opportunity to have it all on your back, everybody counting on you. I think that's the exciting part of what we're going to see this year, is seeing if this guy can lead them in tough moments and tough games. He's been good. He's been good down the stretch. I mean, his goals against, he's given up, what, 63 goals in 26 games? He's been really good, but now you do it with that added pressure of the playoffs.
It's a best of five against Syracuse. For everybody who wants to know, Friday is their first game, 7 o'clock in Rochester. They play again on Sunday. Then they shift gears to Syracuse for a couple. Then if game five is necessary, back in Rochester, and that is Friday, May 10th. You're right. They're not going to hire Seth Appert for the head job in Buffalo. Maybe there's a spot for him behind the bench because he's worked with a lot of these guys on the Sabres roster and all those great things you say about him, Mike, which I'm sure Kevin Adams also believes. But do you have a favorite idea for the Sabres then, for their head coach, given what you heard Kevin Adams talk about?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like they want a guy who's got that experience. And you guys know, you've gone through it. You know, just because you bring in Dan Bylsma, who's won a cup, doesn't make it work.
Right.
I do think sometimes teams pivot and maybe overreact. There you go, we got to have this guy with this experience and all. You know, I don't know the specific guy. Love Lindy Ruff, love what he did for him. I don't know if you go to that well again. I don't know if you go back to that. I know a lot of people like the sort of the nostalgia of it, and they know the way Lindy was, but I don't know if that works. Now, maybe you have a guy like Appert with him. If you're going to do that with a veteran coach, listen, Seth Appert's going to be 50 years old. It's not like he's a kid. So he's been around, but I think at some point he needs to get his opportunity in the NHL, whether it's in Buffalo or not, as an assistant coach. But I think they're going to hire a veteran, whether he's won the cup or not. I think that's what they're going to do, and it probably makes sense. But you got a pretty good coach down here that if he's got some role with the team, I think it'd be a positive.
Mike, you are a Philly guy. You wrote on your X profile, it says Philly sports apologist. I'll ask you it this way.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go, right? Give me rank these Philly sports teams as far as most likely and least likely to win their next championship. Okay. Eagles, Phillies, Flyers, Sixers. I'm going to guess you're going to put Eagles one, but you could surprise me. You're the Philly guy. Eagles, Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, 1 through 4.
Well, I think Eagles and Phillies are about equal. I mean, because Eagles have been there, and they won one a few years ago, but the Phillies are really good. Their starting pitching's outstanding. Now, they're in the tough division. I hope Dan Fates doesn't hear this. Big Braves fan. I try not to give him too hard of a time, but maybe he knows the Phillies have knocked him out the last couple of years. But they're really good, and it's the baseball playoffs, and they've been good. They should have made the World Series again last year. The Eagles are really good. I don't know what happened at the end of last year, but they're going to have to show a lot this year. I love the Sixers. They can't get out of their own way sometimes, and Embiid's banged up. Now I'm reading that Maxey's got illness, and he's questionable for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So you never – with that franchise, you never know. And speaking of Amerks and Flyers – honestly, John Tortorella, I think, is with Danny Briere, which is interesting, is really starting to turn that around. They finished poorly this year, but they are definitely fourth on the list. So I would say right now, Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, Flyers.
All right.
All right.
Sixers NBA playoffs, right? What'd they do? They lost game one. Right?
Let me ask this. If the Sixers
lost game one to the Knicks and B got hurt, came back in, they play game two tonight. we'll see what ends up happening.
If hypothetical, I know it didn't happen, but if Embiid had stayed healthy all year and was healthy right now, would they be on the top tier with you, with the other two for you?
Well, they were. Oh, yeah. Well, again, they haven't shown they can do it. Like,
right.
The Phillies got to a World Series, lost to Houston, and, yeah. and we're right there. The Eagles won a Super Bowl, and we're in another one, and we're right there. The Sixers have been that team that cannot get past a certain point. They mm-hmm. just they keep losing in the second round. But they were 31-8 with Embiid and Maxey on the court this year.
Right. Which I think
Mike,
was second
we,
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. We that's all right, no problem. We gotta run, but we want you to promote what you got going this week because you and Jenna and Dan do such a great job over there at your station and of course on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel. We've had all three of you at different points on WGR. We love talking with you. So why don't you tell everybody what you guys got going on this week?
Yeah, we're recording another podcast today. We usually have one out every Tuesday, even during the off season. We have content all week long. We got a special show leading up to the draft, 7:30 to 8 on Thursday leading up to it. Dan's all fired up today. He's got his hot takes on what the Bills should do. I think he wants to be very aggressive. And Jenna has to referee between the two of us. Sometimes we need to shut up and let her talk more. But that's coming up, and then we'll have content each night. So it's just Buffalo Plus on YouTube, and if you get a chance to check it out, we appreciate it.
Mike, thank you for doing this, and see you on Thursday, buddy.
All right. Good to hear from you guys, and we'll see you Thursday.
All right, thank you very much. Mike Catalano, 13 Wham in Rochester. Great job they do over there with Dan Fates and Jenna Cottrell. And, Buffalo Plus YouTube channel. Really nice stuff they have going on there all week long. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up here this hour. We'll get to Chris Emma, who is from our sister station in Chicago. What are the Bears going to do? Will they pivot out of the number 9 pick? We went a little long with Mike Catalano, but we're glad to because he was excellent. Check that out on demand, WGR550.com. And, of course, on the Odyssey app, Mike from 13 Wham in Rochester. It's draft week. The Chicago Bears have the number 1 pick. It's going to be Caleb Williams. We're pretty sure about that, right? That'd be stunning if it wasn't. Mm-hmm. They also have the number 9 pick. Is it Roma Dunze? Are they going to trade it? What are they going to do? We will talk with Chris Emma from our sister station, The Score, in Chicago, when we return here on WGR. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.